Back at it. It is Game On. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to go straight to the Fidelity Communications Hotline and bring in Bob Holt from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Bob, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Not bad. All right, now Saturday, did you guys get to watch any of practice, or was it just kind of like a normal where you just in and out and do interviews afterwards?
No, it was closed. It was a real lousy day, but weather-wise, kind of cold and drizzly and rainy. I think they went indoors, and yeah, we didn't get to watch it. We just they had scheduled an interview deal with Brett Bielema at about 1:30, so we just showed up at the football complex a little before that, the operations center, I guess it's called, and we talked to Brett for about 20 minutes, and he answered stuff about practice, and you know, practice was going, and you know, I guess 4/5 of the way in, and but yeah, we haven't seen any practice since I guess the previous Saturday. We got to watch the scrimmage.
What did what'd you make of the move for Jamario Bell? Because this was a very talented, very athletic kid coming out of high school, but I mean, he's bounced now, Bob, from what, defensive end to linebacker from defensive end to tight end, now to linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously got, I think, what they're looking for physically from, you know, an SEC player, whether it's tight end or defensive end or outside linebacker, and I don't know if he has himself comfortable. Obviously, they're pretty stacked at tight end. I mean, they're obviously, you know, they don't have Hunter Henry or Jeremy Sprinkle now, but they have, you know, guys they're counting on a lot. And I think with Bell and kind of Jeremy Patton, the top junior college tight end in the country, at least that's what he was rated, he should be enrolling in the summer at some point. They'll have him for fall camp. I think if you counted Bell in with that group, there was like 8 scholarship tight ends. That doesn't even count maybe one or two walk-ons. So, now granted, Arkansas uses, you know, they have 3 tight end sets. You know, they use tight ends as fullbacks and do a lot of different things. They might have just felt like, hey, we got 8 guys at this spot. This guy's too talented to be, you know, not be on the field somehow. Or maybe he's, I know Brett in the past has said things like, you know, he needs to get in the playbook more. So maybe he was struggling with the offense. Maybe he just doesn't have, you know, an offensive mentality. Maybe he's more of an attack guy for defense. But, yeah, you know, if you're an Arkansas fan or coach or player or whatever, you'd like to see a guy that talented. You'd like to see him find a spot for him because he does have the talent. But I think it's hard for a guy to kind of find his niche and he keeps bouncing back and forth. So he's still young. I mean, I think he's a redshirt sophomore, so it's not like he's a senior. So hopefully, you know, they'll find the right spot for him and he can start contributing.
Bob Holt's with us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Bob, was Coach Bielema okay with the 3-4, the progress of the 3-4? Do they feel like the coaching staff, like it's going the way they wanted it to?
Yeah, everything they said. Now, it's I think a couple of weeks ago, Paul Rose, you know, defensive coordinator, talked about how they were still in the pretty early stages of putting it in. They're probably, you know, really nowhere near what they're gonna be doing with it. But you know, 4 weeks in, of course, that's 12 practices. That's not a ton of practices. But I think they feel good about, you know, how it's shaping up. And they're sort of moving guys around. You know, Michael Taylor started the spring as an outside backer. Now they've got him at DN. Brett said he thought, you know, he was more comfortable at defensive end. That's kind of was his position before. But of course, as we've seen, that stuff can change. I think in the spring especially, they like to double train guys and play guys inside, outside, in the line, you know, maybe nose guard in, just kind of see who can do what. And obviously, it gives you some versatility in games, too, with personnel or if injuries crop up or certain personnel groupings. And so, yeah, I think that the installation's coming along, but they're probably nowhere near where they need to be or want to be at this stage. But obviously, it's a spring, too. They've got, you know, a lot of time to get better at it.
Bob, what about the number 2 quarterback? What's that race look like?
Based on what, you know, the scrimmages we saw, you know, Ty Story and Cole Kelly both would have their good plays and their bad plays. I mean, Cole's kind of what you're looking for. I mean, he's kind of Ryan Mallett Jr., whatever, a big 6'7 guy. But, you know, he had a pass that got tipped and intercepted by by, you know, Bijan Jackson doing the scrimmage or kind of strip. I was a 6'7" guy get a pass there, but that shows you he didn't make a real good throw on that one. So, I mean, physically, Cole maybe has more upside, but Ty's a little more experienced. And, you know, right now it's definitely too close to call. You talk to the, I mean, just watching it, you know, you'd say, well, one guy's not clearly better than the other in terms of the performances we've seen. That's obviously limited. We're not there watching all a lot of the other practices and the reps and stuff. But everything Dan Enos and Brett and, you know, Danny Enos, the offensive coordinator, coaches the quarterbacks, have said is that, you know, this thing's even. And Brett was talking about that'll be something interesting to see on Saturday. I mean, it's going to be the ones versus everybody else. But I would imagine Cole Kelly and Ty Searle both get some reps with the one line, or maybe they won't play any of the ones in the second half. But that'll be interesting. Now that the red-white game is going to decide who the backup quarterback is, that'll be another measuring stick, how do they get out there in front of, you know, whatever crowd they get for that. And but I think that thing's going to carry over on into fall camp. But right now it's pretty even, it looks like.
All right, what are we going to do for the spring game? What's it going to be like?
Well, you know, they're only going to be going into the south end because the north end's a big hole. Now, there is a fence, so you hope that nobody's going to that was the end zone Bijan Jackson was running towards when he picked off the Cole Kelly pathway, and he didn't get close to the fence. But yeah, there's a pretty big hole there in the north end right now. So just to be on the safe side, they're only going to move the ball towards the south end. And like I said, it'll be the starters against everybody else. You know, Brett says he likes that for the continuity sake. He didn't want to, you know, take three starting offensive line, put them on one team and two on the other. You know, let's say you have your top six offensive line, you don't want three on one team, three on the other. You want continuity. Also, I think this is probably most coaches are like this. They want their starters to, you know, dominate and feel good about themselves at the end of spring and go out there and do that. So, yeah, I mean, I think the backups, they get double points on field goals and touchdowns. I would assume it'd be a route for the starters. I mean, if your starters are dominating your backups, then either you got really, really good backups or you got some problems. So I think you'll probably see the starters dominate. And I know it's noon kickoff for the SC Network. I'm not sure what their TV window is, but I wouldn't expect it to be a super long afternoon. I think there's some rain in the forecast. Hopefully that'll hold off. They're having the, you know, since the Bros Center or which parking lot is, you know, half fenced off, I think they're doing their activities, you know, for the kids and stuff down at the big parking lot to the side of Walton Arena. So if people still want to bring their kids out and do that stuff, I think maybe that's from about 10 to noon or somewhere. They'll have the bouncy, whatever you call those things, you know, what they fill the air with and the kids are going to bounce around. What are the kids' activities?
Bouncy house.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know exactly what they're going to have, but whatever people have been to, if they've been to that Razor Fest before, this will probably be a toned-down version of that just because the parking lot won't be as big. But there'll be some kids' activities. And then if they want to go up and see the game, obviously they can go up and do that, you know. So, but yeah, and just like all these games are on TV, you don't expect to see, you know, a bunch of trick plays, you know, players, you know, key players. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, like Jared Cornelius. I think he's back running around a bit, their best wide receiver, but he's had a hamstring issue. I doubt if he'll play. Frank Ragnow hadn't scrimmaged. I mean, he's a center, so it's not like it. I mean, he's a great player, but it's not like everybody's watching the center on every snap. Maybe they should be. But, you know, my guess is it'll be a light day for Austin Allen. Won't give Riley Williams too much work. But that's kind of what spring games are about now when there's so many of them are on TV. So I guess more just a, you know, chance for the fans to get together and see the team a little bit and, you know, just kind of put a nice camper on the spring.
Bob, and we're talking with Bob Holt, Arkansas Democrat Gazette, WholeHogSports.com. When you're looking at that cornerback spot, the secondary, when Coach is talking about a battle between Brito Tutt and Dalton Wagner, or I'm not Dalton Wagner, Nate Dalton, and he said they're battling for the number four, number five spot. I mean, to me, that says a lot that they're deep. You know, when you got Brito Tutt and Nate Dalton, that's pretty impressive.
Well, they're definitely deeper there than they've been. Ryan Pulley, I think he's going to be really, really an outstanding corner in this league. I mean, I think he'll be a guy that, you know, his time comes, he'll be a pretty high draft pick. He's a pretty talented guy. He's definitely what you're looking for, you know, out of an SEC corner. You got Henry Tolliver's a very experienced guy, you know. Yeah, Kevin Richardson, they really missed him a lot last year. I don't know if people realize how much they missed him. You know, he got the pectoral thing or whatever it was, you know, kind of a muscle thing in your chest. I don't know, not a doctor or whatever, but, you know, he got knocked out. I think it was in the first game against Louisiana Tech. He was out for the year. The only good thing was to get redshirt, but, you know, he was a guy that could play, you know, nickel, corner, safety, just a real sharp guy. So they've got him back, and that's really huge. And they're, right now, I think he'd be at that nickel spot, but you know, he can play outside. He can safety if they need him. So, that he really helps the depth in their secondary as well.
All right, Bob, the NFL draft is this weekend. It starts Thursday with the first round. Arkansas had 8 players go to the NFL combine. Give me your prediction. It's our color and water question of the day. How many Razorbacks are drafted this weekend?
Well, one thing people need to remember, I think there's about 250 or 260 draft picks. Maybe you know. You think I would know. But I think there's over 300 guys that go to the combine. So just because you go to the combine doesn't mean you're going to get drafted. Although, obviously, it's a great thing to be invited to the combine and be able to show off and all that. I would say I'm going to predict 5 Razorbacks get drafted.
Okay. I could see Jeremy Sprinkle, Dietrich Wise, yeah. Jeremiah Ledbetter,
Skipper.
Drew, maybe?
Yeah, it's just so hard to tell. You know, because that's the old saying, it only takes one team to like you. But obviously, they don't have that first-round guy. That's obvious. They probably don't have anybody. I mean, Keon Hatch, I think, is a good shot to be drafted. I just think, and they may have a run where they all get drafted, you know, after the fourth round or in the fourth round, you know, through the seventh or something. I wish them all the best. But sometimes you just kind of shake your head. You see that some punter from Connecticut got picked, and you're thinking, they picked that guy, and this guy from the Razorbacks is still out there on the board. But it really depends on what teams are looking for. Some of them are just kind of looking to fill training camp spots or saying, gee, we got this defensive lineman banged up, so we need somebody to go in there and do some at camp. A lot of times they say, and I understand everybody wants to get drafted. That's a big deal. I don't care if you're, and of course, if you are the last guy drafted, Mr. Irrelevant, you get that all-expense-paid trip to, I think, Catalina or someplace great, you get a parade. So that's actually kind of cool to be Mr. To me, if you're going to be picked, you know, late, be Mr. Irrelevant, you know, if you can kind of get into the spirit of that. But, you know, it's definitely cool to be drafted. That's something people can never take away from you. But a lot of times they say if you're going to be a late pick, you're almost better off being a free agent because then you might have 3 or 4 teams calling you and you can, you know, either take one, the best, you know, financial offer, which ain't going to be a ton of money for a free agent, but there might be a difference between, you know, $5,000 this team, $5,000 that team. Well, that's $5,000 or whatever. And also, your agent hopefully can help steer you and say, well, looking at this roster, you got a better chance to make Team A than Team B. Team B just kind of wants to get you in there so they can beat you up at camp. The Team A may have a real need for you or whatever. So, you know, just because these guys don't get drafted doesn't mean they can't play in the NFL or won't play in the NFL. But, you know, I just think it's just hard to think all 8 guys, I don't care if it's Arkansas or whoever, Auburn, Tennessee, if you got, you know, this many guys going to combine, I think it's hard to predict that they'll get drafted. Maybe they will. Like I said, I certainly wish them all the best. But in my head, it's kind of off the top of my head, I'm thinking, okay, 5. So I guess we'll see if I know what I'm talking about.
Bob, do we get to hear from Van Horn today?
I'm supposed to talk to him later. I don't think he's doing anything formal.
Gotcha. Well, we'll be checking out Bob Holt
they're off today. Yeah.
Tomorrow in the Arkansas Democratic Gazette, so we can figure out what's going on with this baseball team. Who's going to pitch tomorrow?
They went to Auburn and went 1-2. Obviously, they didn't sweep or win the series, but I don't think, and the starting pitching was not good at all. We all saw that if we paid attention. But I wouldn't panic. I mean, they're 12-6 in the SEC. They had a rough weekend on the road. You know, Mississippi State came here and got swept, and I'm not sure they've lost a game since then. I think they've lost one SEC game since then. So baseball can be a crazy sport. I think Arkansas, nobody should panic because they went 1-2 at Auburn. There's no, I mean, it's the SEC. You know, somebody's going to lose every weekend. So
Nope, no shame in going on the road and getting beaten. You never want to go get it swept. So if you can get one on the road, you know what? That's not a bad deal. Bob, no, I appreciate it as always, man.
Don't get swept is the key, right? Okay.
Don't get swept. We will be checking you out in the morning, see what Van Horn has to tell you. Thanks, man. Talk to you later.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
That's Bob Holt, Arkansas Democrat Gazette.